From scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins, and
my name is a little bit jet lagged, Nigel Payne.
So I won't call you a little bit jet lagged, Nigel. So today, actually, you brought this up. A recent LinkedIn post by David James, who's the Chief Learning Officer at 360 Learning, and he'll be very familiar, I think, to a lot of people in the learning community. He has posted up an L&D maturity model, which he's developed over the last few months. And he was just talking about that. And he was looking at the fact that self-reported skills were particularly, there were low skill levels around learning needs identification, learning metrics, and learner engagement. And his summary very quickly is that they're working on the right things, learners often aren't engaged, and there's no clear way to measure impact. And then he goes on to talk about some of the solutions. Now, I jumped in on that because towards maturity, and for listeners that don't know towards maturity, that they no longer exist as an organization, but they ran for years under Laura Overton, they ran a benchmark, and that was annual, and that had nearly best part of 800, 900 L&D professionals who would self-report on a whole range of things. And in 2019, every year they did an annual report, but in 2019, they included a snapshot of L&D skills. And lo and behold, it pretty much reflected exactly what David's maturity model is showing. And of course, that's five or six years ago. Nigel, you thought, let's shake a stick at that. My first thought is, and I put it in my comment, was basically, what stops this industry changing? You know, why is it that this stuff is known? Everyone's self-reporting it. They were self-reporting it years ago. They continue to do that. And yet, these things around improving impact and basically supporting performance at work are so elusive. Why is it so difficult to do?
I think your comments were really helpful. You're the first out of maybe 50 or 60 people have commented on this post. And so it really struck a chord. And most people said, this strikes a chord. Why are we still not doing what we know we have to do with all the data that we've had for so long? But you're the first person who pointed out the almost identical pattern of output from David James's, the output from Towards Maturity, in spite of them being years and years apart. And what my view is, that lack of maturity comes from the fact that L&D does not take a holistic view, and that L&D is in a silo, in a niche, in a corner, where it self-prefers. And that only when you begin to look at the complexity of the organization in a holistic way, and that where all interventions are made up of of elements, not just let's throw a course at them, that's the only way you're going to move that needle. And it won't move with the existing focus and the existing sense of place and purpose for L&D and organizations. So it's quite interesting, I think, that even now in this age, David can bring up something fundamental: the lack of strategy, the lack of analysis of what is needed, and the lack of metrics to see what impact you are making. And Charles Jennings came in pretty soon after I did, saying, if you don't know where you're going, you're just doing things blind. So for goodness sake, work out where you want to be before you do anything, because then you'll know whether you're on a journey or you're just going round a roundabout. And I completely agree with him too. So that was my perspective. And I think your point changed the direction of the conversation from saying, oh, woe is me, this is good information, to David, why is nothing changing year after year? It should be decade after decade. I don't think we've got that long. In 6 years' time, there won't be L&D. if we just carry on like this. We won't be having this debate in 6 years. But there is a time to get your act together. But I think it requires a reframing of the role, not just changing what you do.
Yeah, it felt like there was some network or bandwidth issues then, Nigel, but I'm hoping that everyone could pick up what was being said. But I think that's an interesting one, the reframing, because I wonder whether actually the understanding of what learning and performance is in an organization is based on assumption and legacy thinking. And in some ways, it can be really hard to stop the train and say, wait a minute, this is going in the wrong direction. This is based on something that was designed 50 years ago. And we have basically been going in that direction and building on it and make it faster, making it more efficient for a long time. But actually, we're finding it's not fit for purpose. And I think I don't know whether this is right or not. It's something I have talked about. We've talked about this, but I'm interested in your reframing comments, because my view is that from the senior team down, I don't think there is an understanding of what learning in 2025, learning and performance looks like in an organization. I think we just having conversations about learning is this, training is that, just get that done, whether it's courses or whatever it is. I just don't think it's a holistic. You talked about holistic view earlier. I just don't think the way we frame and talk about learning and performance takes in all the different factors and the context in which learning operates. I just don't, I think that has to start to happen. And at the same time, that gives an opportunity to start educating senior leaders around exactly what learning should be, and therefore the investment and also the impact of that can then be redefined. And I think until that happens, I think there's a massive danger of just carrying on. I don't know. What's your, when you said reframing, what do you mean quickly?
What I mean is that the whole purpose of your role, or the whole purpose of L&D in an organization, has to be looked at through a different lens. And w when you see learning courses and every problem has a course that fixes it, you're only looking through a very narrow window and you're not really pushing the envelope at all. And you're ending up with no focus on learner engagement, no focus on metrics, no focus on strategy, big organizational challenges, and all of those things. So I think you have to reframe the very core purpose. And some of it might not be, believe it or not, around courses. It may be around conditions. Like if you, I've always said that if you don't set the conditions of learning, what's the point of doing anything else? If there are so many barriers for individuals, there's so much resistance, so much bad feeling around learning, increasing the quantum of courses will do absolutely nothing. So you've got to reset that first. You've got to make people be curious, love learning, engage together, work on problems. And you create the environment that allows problems to be solved, business problems to be solved, business to be successful, and things will look after themselves. But if you don't see that as your role, you're the supplier of something that is good for people, you miss the point about what the organization requires. And there is no organization that I can think of on this earth at the moment that does not require more engagement and more learning to be able to cope with some of the changes that are occurring at the moment. But it won't, you cannot do the same or get to the same point by just increasing the speed of the conveyor belt, which has got dollops of learning on it. That come down, you open your mouth at the end of the conveyor belt and swallow quickly or swallow slowly. Now that's just not the that is just not the right paradigm. So I'm saying it's a paradigm change. That's what I'm really saying. And you can start that process at any time around any of the seven criteria that David James has in his metric. You can start with where Charles Jennings says you should start, which is just focus on what are we trying to do here and make sure what you're trying to do is signed off by the business. They will tell you what they really need. And at that point, you can work backwards to what are we going to do rather than let's do something and then worry down the track about how we measure its effectiveness or impact, starting at completely the wrong place.
Yeah, I really like that. I think the other thing I would add is just this, maybe this ability to split compliance, the compliance lens with the learning and change and innovation lens, because learning is stepping into something new. So there, by its very nature, if you do that on an individual level, you're learning something, so you're changing, you have an ability to do something different. And I think the compliance has really driven a lot of, and it continues to drive a lot of learning activity in organizations. But I don't think it's very helpful because I think that in terms of reframing all this, I think people would look at that and look at learning relating to risk and are we fit for purpose? Are we fit to operate? And I think that's just that, that's the kind of the starting point, isn't it? Of course, that all has to be in place. I'm talking about everything else, and there can be change and innovation within the compliance area, but ultimately, what about everything else? And everything else is all about innovation and change. And I think you're right that if the conditions aren't there, if the managers don't like people to come up with ideas and look at moving things forward, if they don't like people trying to progress in what they do, then those can, if those condition, if that's the condition, then it's going to be very hard to get any kind of shift, isn't it? And I think,
Yeah, I agree.
and for me, that's a conversation that has to be had at all levels of the organization. That's not
Yeah.
something a learning team can facilitate change around that by just talking to a few people. It's like this has to level up to a strategic level and say, this is how it's we conceptualize learning here. It's,
Yeah,
and
I agree.
this is, and I completely agree that everything, every organization right now is grappling with what it's going to look like in the next 2 to 5 years because of all the change, all the technology. Why is learning having such a problem with its identity, a moment of massive change and
Of
transformation and
massive learning.
innovation?
Why is learning having an issue when
Why?
we're at a point of massive learning? Yes, that's a good word because it's not fit for purpose. There's such a huge demand. I also believe, maybe this sounds crazy, that compliance should have be nothing to do with learning development. I think it should be dealt with by the organizer, by the bits of the organization that require that compliance and let them manage it, let them sort out what is needed and let them keep a record and all of that stuff and let learning get on with the learning. Compliance is often ticking boxes and doing things that can easily be managed by the experts, the people who know what it means and what it is and keep records and all of that kind of stuff, rather than dump it on L&D, who spend far too much of their time doing stuff they don't understand on behalf of people who don't really appreciate what's being done. Let them take the responsibility elsewhere and manage it. Help them manage it, but don't do it because it's not their job. And it detracts from, as you said, from major learning, which is what is needed now. If ever there was a time when major learning is necessary. I'm spending my life major learning at the moment. Every single day, I've got tasks and targets and things I have to get in my head and work through. I've never been under that, under the cosh in that way for a long time. And I have to say, I actually love it. I'm really excited by it. But I can see why. If you've got a whole bunch of other things on your agenda, that becomes a nightmare if you're not doing it properly. And I think many organizations simply aren't doing it properly. And they disempower, they don't empower. Anyway, we should probably stop there, Martin. I suppose that's enough of a rant. But it's a very important topic and a very important issue that you brought up. And you completely changed the agenda in David's post. And I think that was a good thing to do. Take a historical perspective and get depressed. That was your message.
And I think all credit to David as well for his work and for putting it out there. And these are the conversations. Not, we don't just want to have these conversations. We want change. This is the point, isn't it? This is why we're saying this. I thought that was a very interesting conversation. So thanks for your thoughts, as ever,
Yeah.
Nigel. Until next time.
A pleasure, Martin. Until next time, when I'll be alert and awake again. Bye,
Cheers.
Martin. From scratch.